This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, welcome to this beautiful day of the tafsir of Surah Az-Zumar. Beautiful day of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, last session, I think, of Tafsir of Surah Zumar, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. As I was preparing for this recording session, I just got news of a beloved auntie of mine, the brother of one of my beloved team members, Azim Kidwai. His mother just passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her, forgive her. Anyone witnessing this video, please make a dua for my auntie. And she is a very beautiful person and left behind amazing son, my brother Azim, and he's the CEO of all the da'wah work that happens through Mercy Mission today, which is massive, helping millions of people worldwide and making an impact in the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in some small way or the other. Allah forgive her and enter into Jannah and give her a place with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make her place in the Akhirah in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la and us with her and her family together. Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we have with us Surah Zumar. And Surah Zumar is an amazing surah. And you're going to feel how amazing it is because of this last page that we are about to recite. So Surah Zumar, it was called Surah Zumar because Allah talks about Zumara, about a group that will go to Jannah and a group that will go to Jahannam. Yeah? And Allah also talks about groups because that's what life is all about. You know, life isn't about who is the first person. It doesn't matter. You are part of the first group. So, you know, this is why, you know, let's say many Islamic schools or some schools these days, there's always like, okay, who's the first boy? Who's the second boy? Who came third? No, it's not like that in real life. In real life, it's teams. If your team wins, you win, even if you're not very good. And even if you're very good, if your team loses, then you lose, you know. And it's the same way. You should be within the right team. So it's not just possible for you to just be guided. You have to be from those believers, and you have to love the believers, and you have to want to be with them, so that you are raised up with them, so that you are from the winning group. Yeah. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. Let's take what Allah just says about the hereafter and about the day of judgment. So let's start. So Allah starts off at the point of the blowing of the horn, which is going to signal the coming of the day of judgment. So imagine all of these things have happened on this earth. 60 to 70 signs have come. Then the 10 major signs have come. Then suddenly there is no one left on the face of this earth except the most evil of people. No one, not a single Muslim is left. At that point, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. At that point, the horn has been blown into. So the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ tells us a few things about the horn. It tells us that it is a horn that is like a hollowed out horn of a ram. It is entrusted to an angel by the name of Israfil, alayhi salatu wasalam. Israfil is an angel that does not blink. He has taken a deep breath and he has put the horn to his mouth and he's about to blow. And the Prophet ﷺ was very worried about this once he woke up from his sleep, very, very worried. And he said, why are you so worried? Aisha said to him, radiallahu ta'ala anha. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can I be rested when I have seen my dream, the sahib al-sur, which is Israfil, has taken a deep breath, puffed out his cheeks, and he's put the horn to his mouth, looking at Allah, looking at the throne, waiting for the moment that the command will be given for him to blow, meaning the day of judgment is so close. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ told us, "Ana wa'ithu ana wa sa'ati hakada." I have been sent with the hour like this, meaning right after me, there will be the last hour, right? Wa nufiqa fi sur. How many blowings will there be? Majority of the opinion is three. Some said two, but the majority opinion is three. So first one is the blowing of fear, where after the first blowing, everything is paralyzed. Second blowing, everything is destroyed. Third blowing, everything is recreated. And between the second and the third blowing, is the duration of 40 years or 40 months. Allah Ta'ala alam only how long, but we know it's 40 something. So only Allah knows how long. And in that time, nothing will exist except Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَ وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَكْرَمْ. Now, Allah talks about the third blowing of the horn, or the final blowing. وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ. And the first blowing. وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. So the first blowing took place. So everyone is paralyzed and terrified in the heavens and the earth, except for the one who Allah wills. ثُمَّ نُفِقَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. And this is the third blowing. But because it has been mentioned twice, some of the scholars said it's two blowings, but the stronger opinion is three. ثُمَّ نُفِقَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. Then it is blown into the horn another time. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. And it is as if they are standing and looking. And that is the final blowing, at which point the earth will now be transformed from the earth of this dunya to the earth of resurrection. And it is as if people are now standing and looking. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about what happens to us on that day of judgment when everything has been blown. So Allah talks about the plane of the earth of resurrection. Let me tell you a few things that have been authentically reported about the plane of resurrection. It has been authentically reported that the plane of resurrection will be white. It will be as white as a daqiq, which is the flour, or it will be like a plate of silver, so it can reflect the light that comes on it. The skies and the heavens will be multicolored, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, and the sun will be brought close to us, the distance of 1 mile, 1 mil in Arabic, which might mean 1 mile, or which could also mean the distance of a comb, which is a mil in Arabic, which is about 10 centimeters. Only Allah knows how close the sun will be and how hot it will be on that day. On the plains of the day of resurrection, Allah will cause a rain to fall. From the rain, then people will come out of the plain of resurrection, just like crops come out. Yeah, so they will come out, hands will come out, they will move the dirt, and then they will all be resurrected in the exact form. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامُوا يَنْظُرُونَ. And وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورِ رَبِّهَا وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ وَشُهَدَ وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Now in just one sentence, Allah tells us how it will be. So as we stand up, as you can see, we will all be raised up, unclothed, so we'll be naked, we'll be uncircumcised, and we'll be barefooted. So يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ هُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا غُرْلًا. And this is the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in Bukhari. So Allah says, وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورِ رَبِّهَا. And the earth has been lit by the light of its Lord, meaning the hijab is removed, and now the nur starts coming from the light of Allah Himself. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ. And the book has been brought forth. Which book are we talking about? The book of the deeds of human beings. وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ. And the prophets have been all brought forward, because they are the witnessers over everyone else. وَالشُّهَدَى. And the witnesses. What type of witnesses? So there are seven types of witnesses that are going to come, that are going to present at our hearing, court hearing on the day of judgment. What are those seven witnesses? Number one is the earth itself upon which we walked. That will be the first witness. The second will be our body. So our skin, our hands, our eyes and hearing, Allahumma ista'an, will all be witnesses. The third witness will be the angels that saw what we did, the angels that wrote the book. The fourth witness, fourth witness is the book of our deeds. This will be brought forth. Fifth witness are the people that were around us that witnessed what we did on this earth, good or bad. The sixth witness will be the prophet and the prophets of God that witnessed their people. And the seventh witness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. There are also other witnesses that will be brought out, and they are all subordinate witnesses that will help. So the good deeds will come as a witness, charity will come as a witness, Quran will come as a witness, and they will all bear witness for the people witnessing for them. And also those people that were wronged, they will witness against a person because of that person having wronged them. So, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ. And the shuhada, nabiyyin and shuhada, here is the greatness of the shuhada or the martyrs, that Allah has put the shuhada right after the nabiyyin, that they have been all brought forward. وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. And the judgment has been passed between them. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And they will not be wronged. وَوُفِّيَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا عَمِلَتْ. And every single person will be given what they have done, what actions they have done. This is why, don't keep your faith in your heart. Keep your faith on your limbs. Wear it on your limbs, meaning act upon the faith that Allah has given you. You are only as good as the act that you have and as the deeds that you do. So increase in the deeds that you do. The dhikr, the recitation of the Qur'an, the studying of Islam, the helping of the people, random acts of kindness, the helping people on every single good deed that can be done. So do that. وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَوُفِيَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا عَمِلَتْ. And every single person will be rewarded and recompensed based on what they used to do. وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَفْعَلُونَ. And he is more aware of what they have done. So the witnesses are brought forth, but Allah Azza wa Jal is the most aware of what you have done, because he is aware of what's in the hearts. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. Now the first group Allah talks about, the first zumar, the first group Allah talks about are those who have disbelieved. And so Allah uses the word seek. Seek means saqa, yasiqu siqan. So that, what does that mean? Siqan means, it means that they have been driven. So saqa is to drive. So siqa meaning they have been driven. It is in the maf'ul from. So wasiqa alladhina kafaru. So they are driven, those who are disbelieved are driven to Jahannam Zumara. And that doesn't mean they're driven in a car. They're driven by having angels sitting on their backs with their whips in their hands, hitting them. And of course the disbelievers are raised up on their faces. So the angels are sitting on their backs as they are raised up on their faces, and as they are then made to walk and crawl as they're on their face. Can you imagine that? وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. This is the state of terrible ignorance and ignominy and inability to speak and see or hear, that they will be then beaten and they'll be pushed forward and they'll be driven towards Jahannam. Subhanallah. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, give us the death of Muslimin. Ya Rab, give us the death of Islam and Muslimin. Do not give us the death of disbelief, Ya Rab al-Alameen. Do not disgrace us on the day of judgment, Ya Allah. Do not disgrace us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, draw us to Jannah, Ya Rab al-Alameen. Do not disgrace us on that day, Ya Rab. Hatta idha ja'uha, until they come to it. Futihat abwabuha, its doors are open to it. So the Jahannam, the doors are open. And that is why Allah says that Jahannam calls upon every kafarin athim. Jahannam calls out every disbelieving person and every sinful transgressor. And Jahannam is calling out to them, oh so and so, where are you? Oh so and so, where are you? Come to me, enter my Jahannam. Enter me, for verily you are entering the punishment, Allah, that you have earned with your own hands. Hatta idha ja'uha futihat abwabuha wa qala lahu khazanatuha. And its khazan, khazan meaning the khazanatuha, meaning those who are the guardians of Jahannam, and they are 19 angels. And there are a few things that Allah has told us about these 19 angels, and the hadith and the scholars have told us. Number one is that they are angels who are able to withstand the fire. So they have, mashallah, amazing physical ability to withstand the fire, which is amazing. Number two, they are 19 in number. So we know that they are alayha tis'at ashar, as Allah says in the Quran. Number three, the head angel is called Malik. The head angel of Jahannam is called Malik. Number four, these angels do not know the meaning of mercy. They have not been taught the meaning of mercy. So they are unmerciful. They do not have mercy. They cannot have mercy. They just don't know what's mercy. I don't understand mercy. So they just punish. They are the worst of the punishment of Allah that Allah has created. The khazanatu jahannam. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ. Did there not come to you a messenger to you, يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ, reciting to you آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ, the verses of your Lord, وَيُنْذِرُونَكُمْ, and warning you, لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا, warning you of this meeting of this day. So they will tell you, why are you in Jahannam? Didn't they come to you? Because for them, it's logical. If someone came to them, why wouldn't you not listen? They didn't listen. So because they didn't listen, then that is why you're in Jahannam. So didn't they come to you reciting the signs to you and warning you of the day of judgment? Qala, they said, bala. Of course they did. Bala, absolutely, of a surety. Most definitely they did. Walakin haqqat kalimatul adab. Rather, the kalimatul adab, the statement of punishment, has become obligatory. عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ upon the disbelievers. وَلَكِنْ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. But the statement of punishment has become obligatory upon the disbelievers. And this is what has happened. حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And this is why? Because they are disbelievers, they didn't listen, so the punishment has become obligatory. قِيلَ دُخُلُوا أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمُ. It is said to them, أُدْخُلُوا, enter. أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمُ, the doors of Jahannam, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, to reside therein forever. بِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. What an evil abode is there for those who are the mutakabbirin, the wrongdoers, the evildoers, the proud and haughty people. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. And those who had fear of Allah, they are driven. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ, their Lord, إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرَى, to Jannah in groups. So they are then driven in groups to Jannah, those who fear their Lord. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا. So the Ikhwani, the only attribute Allah has used to call them is اتَّقَوْا, those who feared me. And that is why Allah also says, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيَّةً. In other verses also Allah says, and we have saved those who feared me. So therefore, the most important criteria you need to develop is fear of Allah. The most important criteria. This is the one thing that will save you from every type of turmoil and disturbance of the Day of Judgment, from problems, is the taqwa of Allah. Is constant awareness that Allah is there. Constant awareness Allah is looking. Constant awareness. And this is the ubudiyyah Allah wants. It is more important than His love. Why? Because love will sometimes mislead you. Look at how love misleads the Christians, that they think that Allah will forgive them despite their sins. But taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be far better for you, because that is what will keep you away from everything that offends Allah. First, don't do anything that offends. Yeah, as they say in medicine, they said maleficence, meaning first do no harm, right? This is the first thing. Do no harm before you try and do good. The first law that I am taught in my trauma training, when I am trained in my trauma and I teach my junior students in medicine, first do no harm, first do no sin, first do no evil, and then do good, right? And that is why the most important criteria is taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is why when you see the story of the prophets of God and you hear the stories of the Anbiya and of the martyrs and of the Salihin and of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one attribute that stands out more than others is the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla. What is taqwa? Taqwa, as Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, is like you're walking on a path, and then there are thorns on this path. Some of them are low-lying leaves of trees that have thorns there. Others, they are actually like thorns that are on the ground. So what you're doing is, as you're walking, you're making sure you bend your body to not touch these thorns. And you're looking wherever the thorns are, and you're bending your body to make sure that you can continue on in this path without touching those thorns. That exactly is what taqwa is. Because those thorns represent the maharim of Allah, the punishment of Allah, or the anger of Allah, or those things which Allah has made haram. So zina, stealing, uquq al-walidain, being back to your parents, being unfaithful, being a munafiq, all of these things are like these thorns. So you walk on that path towards Allah, towards Jannah, whilst being very wary to ensure that you meander yourself across all of these thorns that can really destroy you. And that is what taqwa really is. Taqwa has also been explained by Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, a muttaqi is a person who, when he looks at others, he thinks that everyone else is forgiven except himself. That everyone else is forgiven except himself. That is what a muttaqi is, a person of taqwa. Also al-Bukhari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, a person of taqwa is a person who, when he looks at someone who is older than him, then he says, oh, how much more good deeds has he done more than me? And when he looks at someone less than him, meaning younger than him, then he says, oh, how less sins has he done than me? Meaning that he always looks at others and thinks that they are better than him. This is what a muttaqi is. And that is such an amazing state of slavery, such an amazing state of ubudiyyah. May Allah allow me and you to have it. Ya Rabb, please bless us with that. Ya Rab, make us of those people who are humble, who when we look at others, we think that we are the ones who are guilty. We are the ones sinful. We are the ones who have yet to be forgiven and others are forgiven. We are the ones who have yet to do good. We are the ones who have yet, we are the young ones who have so many sins, Ya Rab. Make us of those people, Ya Rabbul Alameen, that are more concerned about our own problems than are concerned about people and their problems. And that is taqwa. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. They are driven towards their Lord, Zumara, in groups. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُهَا, until when they come to it. فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. And the first person to have the doors open will be Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the people who will enter Jannah will be in 120 rows. And the first of the rows will be from this ummah. In fact, in the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, would it make you happy if you are one third of the people of Jannah? The Sahaba said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet continued and he said, would it be make you happy if you are half of the people of Jannah? Meaning his ummah. He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. And then he said, would it make you happy if you are two third of the people of Jannah? Rather, I make dua to Allah that you are the majority of the people of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So two thirds of the people who will enter Jannah will be from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabb. We are from this ummah. Alhamdulillah. This is only the pure blessing of Allah. Wallahi, the pure blessing of Allah. We could not have asked for this. We didn't know when we would be born. We would know which family we would go to. We would know which religion we would come to. We would not know this had Allah not favored us. We've got to do something for Allah. We've got to thank Allah for giving us this favor. He chose us for this. We've got to do something for Him. We've got to give our life to Allah. We've got to give our families to Allah. We've got to sacrifice our wealth for Allah. We've got to leave everything for Allah. He's done so much for us. He has done so much for us and we do nothing for Him. And He gave this to us, this blessing just for us. Where would we be? Ya Rab, what punishment would we have? What Jahannam would we be at? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has immense mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His immense mercy made us Muslimin, made us Ahlul Sunnah, gave us the knowledge of the Qur'an, and then tells us that He loves us, and then He tells us He'll give us Jannah for what, Ya Rab? You did it for us. SubhanAllah. How grateful are we to Allah? Allahumma ma asbaha min ni'matin aw bi ahad min khalqika fa bika minka wahdaka la sharika lak. Say this four times, brothers and sisters. Say it with me. Allahumma ma asbaha min ni'matin aw bi ahad min khalqika fabika minka wahdaka la sharika lak. Allahumma ma asbaha min ni'matin aw bi ahad min khalqik fabika minka wahdaka la sharika lak. Allahumma ma asbaha min ni'matin aw bi ahad min khalqika fabika minka wahdaka la sharika lak. The Prophet said, whoever says this four times in the morning, then he has given the shukr of that day. And whoever says it in the evening four times, then he has given the shukr of that evening. So this is, the meaning of it is, O Allah, whatever ni'mah, blessings that I have achieved or I have received, or that anyone on this earth has received, then, or anyone in the heavens and the earth has received, any creation has received, فَبِكَ, then it is from you, minka. It is from you. It is by you. Minka wahdak, from you alone. La sharika, like there is no partners associated with you. Alhamdulillah. And this is how you make shukr to Allah with your dhikr, with your sacrifice, with your ibadah, with your sadaqah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. And its doors, eight doors Jannah has, right? The middle door is the door of, Bir al-Walidain. Middle gate. That's why, aim for the middle. That's why be good to your parents. And that's just like my brother Azim was good to his mom. May Allah Azza wa Jal make me good to my mom. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make you also good to your parents. Walhamdulillah. And it's very easy to do so. Every day call them. Every day find out what they want. Every day do something they like. You go to their friends. So that the friends go back and say, your son is amazing. They feel good about it. And be good to their parents. And be good to their families. And give them money and give them wealth. And say kind words to them. And be with them in the time of difficulty. And make sure you visit them more frequently than you visit your other friends. And this is how you do bir al-walidain to your parents. Alhamdulillah. طيب وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها and it's people meaning Jannah and it's and its guardians will say Salamun alaykum, salam to you, peace be upon you, طيبتم, you are purified, فدخلوها خالدين, so enter into Jannah خالدين, to remain therein forever. Allahu Akbar, forever. And tibtum meaning that you'll be purified. How will you be purified? You'll be purified from the rivers or from the springs that are on the gates of Jannah. It will come down, shower upon you, and all of the difficulty, turmoil, hardship, all of the sins, all of that will be removed. You will suddenly be raised up to the size of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, 70 feet tall, 6 feet wide, and in the image of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and then you'll be asked to enter into Jannah, طِبْتُمْ خَالِدِينَ, to remain therein forever. وَقَالُوا, and they said, meaning the people entering Jannah, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهُ, praise be to Allah who has fulfilled His promise to us. وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضَ, and He gave us inheritance. You see, this dunya, Allah didn't call it inheritance. Even though it's inheritance, and irath and mirath, and we own it. It's not really. If it was, then we would have taken it with us in our grave, in our journey, but we can't. So it's not the real inheritance. The real inheritance is Jannah. When you are given a place in Jannah, it's yours. It's yours because it's forever. And that's why it's like, it's more precious than this dunya. One handspan of this dunya, of Jannah, is better than all of the dunya and what is in it. In the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, one khimar of the women, khimar is the overhead covering of the women of Jannah, is better than the dunya and what is in it. In another authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, if one fruit from Jannah came to this dunya, all of the people of this dunya could eat from it until the day of judgment. Can you imagine? SubhanAllah. How beautiful, amazing is Jannah, SubhanAllah. Just that bit of Jannah, SubhanAllah. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهُ, who fulfilled His promise to us. وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضَ, and He gave us the inheritance of this land of Jannah. نَتَبَوَّأَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ, we move in Jannah wherever we wish. How? Because the burraq, a beautiful steed that can fly, will be there. And those who are the martyrs will be given wings, as Ja'far bin Abi Talib, as we know, will be given wings in Jannah. And we also know that the martyrs will be in, and their souls will be in the birds of, in the hearts of green birds, moving around in Jannah as they wish. نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ, moving around in Jannah wherever we wish. فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ, so what a beautiful reward is there for those who act for the sake of Allah, those who work for the sake of Allah. So work hard. Ya akhwati, figure out which deed Allah made it easy for you. Is it da'wah? Is it sadaqah? Is it salah? Is it siyam? Is it hajj? I know of one uncle, I call them uncle because they're family friends. Allah let him do hajj 70 times. Ya salam, 70 times. And you know some of the hajj tour operators, they've been doing hajj, what, 30, 40, 50 years? I know my brother Ismail Davids, my brother from Australia. And what has he done? Hajj 40, 50 times? Ya salam. Ya salam, ya salam, ya salam. Some ibadat, Allah makes it easy for you. Yeah. Others, Allah makes it hard for you. Figure out which ibadah Allah has made it easy for you. Enter Jannah through that gate. Enter Jannah through that gate. I know for me, Allah has made it easy for me to teach. And that's barakah, because then if I teach people, then they will also, their deeds will be in my book, inshallah. So I'm going to excel in this. I made a promise to Allah, I'm going to excel in this. I'm going to do more da'wah. I'm going to study more. I'm going to teach more. I'm going to preach more. I'm going to inform more so that people can learn from me. Because that is my ibadah that Allah has made easy for me. I know for me, fasting is hard. So I will do as much fasting as I can. But I will excel in my topic of da'wah, in my topic of teaching, because that is the ibadah Allah has made for me. me. Which ibadah has Allah made easy for you? Every person has been created with a purpose. So figure out what purpose Allah created you for. The Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith in Bukhari, كُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Every single person is helped for the purpose that they were created. So what purpose were you created for? Work for that purpose. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهُ وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضَ نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. What a beautiful reward is for those who work for the sake of Allah. And then, final verse, alhamdulillah, in Surah Az-Zumar. وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَ. And you see the angels. حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ. You look up and you see the angels surrounding the Arsh of Ar-Rahman. حَافِين, yeah, all surrounding the Arsh of Allah, making dua to Allah, praising Allah. يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. Praising Allah and making tasbih of their Lord. وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. And the judgment has been passed between them in truth. وَقِيلَ. And then it is said, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Ya Salah. Only Allah could have said these words. Only Allah Rabbana could have said these words, wallahi. This is Surah Zumar. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing us to the end of Surah Zumar. My brothers and sisters, memorize this beautiful surah, fall in love with it, and ask Allah azza wa jalla to save you from the benefit, save you by learning this and implementing it, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah, tomorrow we will start with Surah Al-Maryam, inshallah. And Surah Al-Maryam is amazing stories of prophets of God. Lots of lessons for us, inshaAllah. And amazing, powerful end. I love Surah Maryam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and you through the love of this beautiful Qur'an. May Allah bless us and thank us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention us with those that are with Him, with the prophets of God and with the angels, because of what we are learning from His book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it for His sake, not make it for anyone else. Not for any other God, Ya Rabbal Alameen, for you only. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day free our necks from Jahannam. On the day, on every day of Ramadan, there are people that He frees from Jahannam. Ya Allah, free our necks from Jahannam, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And make us from the inhabitants of Al-Firdaus Al-A'la with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until tomorrow, inshallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.